for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings to our listening audience today. Thank you for your interest in our daily program. We appreciate your tuning in. I'm John Lawrence, Director of Ministries here at IBJM. I wanted to talk with you about some tracts that we have available for you for the Jewish holidays that are coming up very soon now. For Rosh Hashanah, for instance, Feast of Trumpets, the Jewish New Year, we have one called The Three Books, which is a tract that reflects the Jewish idea that they have to work or accomplish mitzvahs, as they call them, good works, to get into the Book of Life for the coming year. But of course, there's nothing sure about their relationship with God, even if they do get inscribed according to their thinking. They still have to come around next year and go through the same process. It's very uncertain. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is of course the highest holy day of Judaism, and on that day, the high priest made atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus, however, remember, made atonement once and for all, as the book of Hebrews in the New Covenant teaches, and he is the great high priest, giving us full and immediate access to a holy God. The tract we offer, Is This Your Day of Atonement?, confronts Jewish people with the truth that salvation is not something you or I have to do, but it's rather something that has already been done. It's been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, now offered to us as a gift, full and free, to all who would accept it, Jew and Gentile alike. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Animal sacrifices and good works cannot accomplish that. They can't take away your sin, but Jesus Christ. Then we have the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, which is celebrated at the very end of the year, usually fairly close to Christmas. We have an excellent tract for that called The Truth About Hanukkah that relates Hanukkah to Jesus as the Messiah, who is, after all, as he said, the light of the world. The Jewish people believe that God miraculously provided for oil for the temple lamps when there was none left in order to rededicate the temple after it had been defiled by Antiochus Epiphanes, back before the time of Christ, about 170 years before Christ, actually. It is always a very joyful celebration. It was good news that the temple was delivered out of the hands of the unbelieving pagans. They believed that the oil allowed that light to shine brightly through the darkness of those times and events, bringing a new day of Jewish devotion to their God, who had delivered them once again from their enemies. Jesus came as a light into the darkness of a sinful world. Other holiday tracts are available too. There's one for Purim. There's several for the spring feasts, like Passover. These tracts are offered in packets of 25 on simply a love offering basis. Don't charge for them. We don't ask you to pay for them. They're available to churches and individuals alike. And then if you want to give a gift, when you receive your tracts, that would be up to you. If you would like to order some, please contact us at area code 423-876-8150, and you will want to speak with Mrs. Glenda McGuirt. The Jewish holidays are a very special time for Jewish people and provide an opportunity to us as Christians to send a card or even give such a contact a small gift sometimes. And you may find an open door then to give a tract or to share a gospel witness. The important thing is to develop relationships with your Jewish contacts, and then to be very aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit when he may provide an occasion for a divine, prepared appointment with that Jewish person in your conversation with them. Perhaps your pastor would like some of these tracts for your church's tract rack. If so, give us a call today and order some for your church. Now let's listen to Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman with our Bible study for today.
Welcome back to our radio Bible study. With this session, we will begin a new series about the weapons of a Christian spiritual warfare. as listed by the Apostle Paul in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul addressed the subject of spiritual warfare. He informed his readers in Corinth that, quote, "that we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh," unquote. The apostle amplified that assertion when, in the following verse, he said, quote, "the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds," unquote. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, Paul expounded upon the weaponry available to Christians. Paul authored the book of Ephesians while he waited for Nero Caesar to hear his appeal. In that epistle, the apostle referred to himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ, the prisoner in the Lord, and an ambassador in chains. That latter phrase referred to the shackles that restrained Paul's movements. Those restraints depicted short chains attached to Paul's wrists. Roman soldiers would shackle themselves to the other ends of those chains when they were on duty. Different sets of guards would relieve each other every several hours. The situation allowed Paul many opportunities to examine the armor of his custodians. He drew upon his observations when he wrote about the Christian spiritual armaments in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. How did Paul initially find himself in these circumstances? When he was placed under arrest while in Jerusalem, the apostle stood before the Roman governors Felix and Festus. He appealed his case to the Roman emperor, an action that he had the right to undertake, since Paul was a Roman citizen. A centurion named Julius took custody of Paul. He brought him from Caesarea to Rome, where, according to Acts chapter 28, quote, "the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard," unquote. The latter title denoted the Praetorian Prefect, an individual who had the responsibility for guarding prisoners who had requested that Caesar himself judge their cases. Paul prefaced his description of the Christian's armor by exhorting the believers in Ephesus, quote, "be strong in the Lord and the power of his might," unquote. His exhortation implied that those readers could access spiritual power that they knew nothing about, spiritual power that they needed to use when engaged in spiritual warfare. What does being strong in the Lord involve? Joshua could provide an answer to that question. When Moses chose Joshua as his successor, according to Numbers chapter 31, the lawgiver told him, quote, "be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee," unquote. In the first chapter of the book of Joshua, God himself gave Joshua similar instructions, telling him, quote, "be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest," unquote. Joshua, in turn, instructed his armies to, quote, "fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight," unquote, as recorded by Joshua in the 10th chapter of that book. Joshua thus allowed God to channel divine strength through him, empowering him to accomplish his ministry. God does indeed possess great power. In Psalm 24, for instance, David described God as strong and mighty. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel referred to God as the strength of Israel. The author of Psalm 89 asks, quote, "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee?" Unquote. According to Isaiah chapter 40, God told the inhabitants of Judah to, quote, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him," unquote. God will use his power to deliver his servants. In Exodus 13, Moses informed the Israelites, quote, "by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage," unquote. The 35th chapter of Isaiah contained this passage, quote, "say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you," unquote. God's presence will motivate his servants to rely upon his power. In the 2nd chapter of Haggai's prophecy, God encouraged the Jews who had returned from Babylonian exile to, quote, "be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, unquote. For these reasons, Christians should ask God to empower them. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, David's song instructed the Israelites, quote, seek the Lord in his strength, unquote. Believers can accomplish this task by waiting on God, as David pointed out in the 27th Psalm. The New Testament depicted a number of people who ministered in the strength of God's power. Of course, Jesus Christ functioned as the first and foremost example of such. Even in the Savior's childhood, according to Luke chapter 2, he, quote, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him, unquote. When a Jewish crowd saw the Savior heal a palsied man, an incident recorded in Matthew chapter 9, this was their reaction, quote, they marveled and glorified God which had given such power unto men, unquote. Another group expressed astonishment when Jesus Christ had taught them, noting, quote, his word was with power, unquote, as found in the 4th chapter of Luke's Gospel. While preaching to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, Peter testified about, quote, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, unquote. Jesus Christ imparted that power unto his disciples. After he assembled them, according to Matthew chapter 10, quote, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, unquote. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to empower them to be his witnesses, just as he promised to do in the book of Acts. In the 4th chapter of that book, Luke wrote that, quote, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, unquote. As Paul declared in the 1st chapter of Romans, the gospel itself constitutes the power of God unto salvation. When healing others, the disciples employed that power that the Savior gave them. Peter and John healed a lame man, as noted in Acts chapter 3. When bystanders wondered at that miracle, Peter asked them, quote, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Unquote. Peter continued, saying, quote, through faith in his, that is, Jesus Christ's name, through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, unquote. According to Acts chapter 4, Peter made the same assertion before a Jewish council in Jerusalem. He told the assembled group, quote, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole, unquote. In both cases, the name of Jesus Christ referred to the Savior's power to bestow healing. The strength that Jesus Christ gave to believers will help them in other areas as well. In the 15th chapter of Romans, for instance, Paul blessed that congregation using the following words, quote, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, unquote. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that same apostle informed members of the congregation in Corinth that their faith stood not in the wisdom of man, but by the might of God. That same power, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that same power will resurrect the dead bodies of believers. Paul recognized that Christians, by their own efforts, could not live a life that honored God. They needed God's supernatural help to live that life of faith that would please him. The indwelling Holy Spirit could provide them and would provide them the strength that they needed to fulfill God's will for them. Thus, Paul encouraged the congregation in Ephesus to, quote, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, unquote. This concludes our first lesson about Christian warfare. We invite you to return for future radio broadcasts about this subject.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.